Today, I'm going to be talking about something that one of the words, I'm going to be concentrating on two words. One of them is only mentioned in the King James Version one time, and the other one is not mentioned at all. But before you think that I'm going off on a wild trip of my own, I'm not. Also, I want to compliment the Bible study today. It's all very, very well put together. Tied very well into my split sermon. And so let us begin. One of the words that I'm going to be talking about today is distraction. Now, there are good distractions if you're out in nature, taking a walk, and a beautiful bird flies by, or a deer goes running across a path, or at night you see the meteorite shower. Those are distractions, and they're good. Sometimes a distraction can actually make you good and get in a better mood. But that is not the type of distraction that I'm talking about. The distraction that we're going to be talking about for a little bit that we're going to lead into how we can counteract distractions is, for example, if you break one of God's Ten Commandments, that's a big distraction. You know. But anyway, let's find out exactly what this word means. Look at the synonyms and the antonyms of this word, because sometimes you can look at the antonyms of the word and it'll tell you more what the word is by telling you what it is not. Okay? So, distraction can mean confusion, something that caused distraction. It can bring on neglect. It can bring anxiety, depression, doubt, a state of mental uncertainty. In my distraction, I forgot where I was, for example. Antonym can be assurance, meaning just the opposite, certainty, conviction, confidence, positiveness, and sureness. So that tells you more about what the word is than what the synonym does. It is something that Satan used as a tool against each and every one of us. The other word is the word that the person who gave the Bible study, Dan McGee, I thought he was going to steal my information. The word is focus. Now, this is the word that is not in the King James Version. But as you can see, it's a very appropriate word to be used, especially on the Sabbaths. It said, do not delight in your own affairs, but put your focus on God. One will make you weak. One of these words will make you weak and confused. And the other will make you stronger, with greater conviction, with more zeal, and help one be very committed to a cause. It means that you're going to have conviction to be committed to a call, to a way of life, to reach a certain goal, to meditate. Now, that's one of the words that can mean exactly what focus does, and it is in the Bible quite a few times. We're going to cover some of those. To push for completion, that is being focused of something. And in 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul wrote, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, I told you before that distraction can bring on doubt. Doubt is the opposite of faith. You cannot have them two going together in your mind at one time. Do you know anyone that we can learn a lesson about focusing? A lot of people in the sports world you can look at. Not that we want to necessarily do what they do, but we can see and we can understand more about focusing. How about a golf player, someone who plays golf a lot? You'll notice that they want it absolutely quiet when they go to hit a ball. Now, I've only been golfing twice, and they were both over in Europe when I was in the military. The threesome wanted someone to play with them. I said, well, I never played golf before, but hey, what is it to hitting that little white ball? So we went out there, and they told me to tee off, and guess what? My ball went way over 300 yards. So, yeah, you never played before, but I hadn't. I was fortunate. Well, the second golfer, his name was John, and he was really concentrating, and I didn't know the rules of being on a golf course or playing golf. So he went to take his swing, and I asked him a question. His ball went about 20 or 30 feet. But he let me know that I had broken concentration. He said, I was focusing, and you broke it. So we agreed that he should take that shot over it because it was not his fault. How about a tightrope walker? Would you want to be a tightrope walker and not being able to concentrate or to focus on what you were doing? How about a bowler? Have you ever seen these people that are good at bowling? They concentrate. They focus so much that they want that ball to hit the same place of the lane each and every time. How about a bullfighter? Would you like to go in a cage, even if you were a professional, and not being focused at what is happening? Not being focused on what that bull intends to do to you? I think it would be quite disastrous. A karate person really must focus all of their energy when they are breaking, bricks or anything like that. It takes a lot of energy. I know I was one time in that arena, but every time I wanted to show off a trick, I never did get the focus right, so I soaked a brick in water overnight. That helps a lot. That softens them and makes them crumble. But we need to really, really focus. Having a vision of our focus on God's will, on how he wants us to live, the conduct he wants us to have. As we go through the Bible today, we'll read a people who are focused, people who are distracted, people who were focused and became distracted, and some who were distracted and became focused. So as we start this journey, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28. I'm sure you're well aware of this passage. It's when Christ was walking on the water and Peter and the other disciples seen it. And Peter was a very bold man and apparently he could focus fairly well. So in Matthew 14 and verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Do you think he had focus? I do. I think he's very focused. I wish I could be that focused. Maybe one day we can. Or maybe you are. But this would be more like perhaps me and maybe one or two of you. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And that is being focused. He did momentarily become distracted. But he understood where his Savior was, and that being focused also. And in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Doubt is the opposite of being focused. Doubt is the opposite of having faith. That is one of the definitions of being distracted. It makes you doubt. It makes you rethink things, which we should not. Once we know the truth, that is where we belong. I always like to go to UCG website to see what their thinking is on a certain subject. It not only helps me see what they're doing, helps to be on the same page, but also helps me to learn more about any given subject. This is what they said about focus. Just part of it. I'll just read it to you. Hitting the bullseye means hitting the center of a target in some endeavor. In order to have success, we must have the center circuit clearly visible. Once we perceive the objective, we can shoot for it straight and hard. I mean, focus, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of concentration. We have to focus on that target in our lives unless we are taking a necessary break of rest. You know, you may be out fishing or something like that. Or you may be sleeping. But we must watch out for the diversion that take our minds off of the main objective. Lot's wife struggled with distractions that ended in her demise. She looked back at what she was leaving with longing in her eyes rather than forward to a better goal in place of focusing on what God told her to. She was distracted by her past life, by what she was leaving. And with that, without such focus, we'll end up wandering spiritually, aimlessly, and without success. We must learn from Lot's wife and keep the vision of the future God offered to us in our minds. So at this time, if you would turn to Genesis 19 and just read a couple of verses about this incident, because you will notice in all the incidents where someone was distracted in the Bible, before they were distracted, they had something to focus on. God made sure they had something to focus on. And God makes sure that we have something to focus on. He's not just going to turn it out, you know, and without anything to focus on. His laws, his government, his leadership, his kingdom. So let's just pick it up. And there's a lot being said here before verse 22. But let's just start in 22 and just read a couple of verses. Haste thee, God is telling him, escape from here, for I cannot do the thing till you be come hither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zorah. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zorah. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstones and fire from the Lord out of the heavens. And he overthrew the cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, she lost her focus. She was longing for that past life. She was longing to be back there. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She was distracted. It doesn't say specifically, but it's a possibility, you know, that because Satan is the enemy of all of us, that he had something to do with that. Maybe he's able, some way, somehow, because of her weakened spiritual endeavor at that time, that he was able to just slip in there and plant. Don't you remember how good you had it in Sodom? Don't you remember how beautiful Gomorrah was? And she looked back, and she failed. She was distracted. In Genesis 3, we could, and we may go through a moment or two, but let's just say that Eve and the serpent here, and we can see that Eve was distracted by Satan. But let's turn, instead of chapter 3, let's go to chapter 2. Again, they had a focus. Again, they had something that they were focused on, supposed to concentrate on, and supposed to reach out and grasp. They had a task that God had given them, a way of life. In Genesis 2 and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, except but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat it thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he had given them a focus point, and he'd also told them about a distraction that was there. They knew the warning signs, but they became distracted because of Satan and the way he operates. Again, you and I and God's church must always make sure that we're focused on the right things. David was a man after God's own heart. But from time to time, when he was distracted by his own lust, by his desires of things that he should not desire, but he repented. He acknowledged his wrongdoing and started to get his focus back on God. It talks about in Psalms about David and what he did to refocus it. So you please turn with me to Psalms, and we'll start in verse 1. We'll just read a few of these. And what I want to do, I think it brings to mind, I know it does to me when I sometimes exchange a word, because sometimes reading books or something about meditate, you can get the wrong idea. But so if you would follow me as I read verse 2, chapter 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he focus day and night. He focuses. And that is a very well word that can replace meditate. They mean exactly the same thing, but because of the modern language, sometimes meditate can be weakened by what you can read about the word meditate. But focus is still a very strong word, and it was not around back then. In fact, the word focus came in, I think, around the 1500 A.D. If we would, if you would also turn with me to, say, chapter 63 and verse 6. Did I get the wrong one? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know it's in here someplace, though. Chapter 63 of Psalms, and in verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed, and focus on thee in the night watches. In other words, when he's not asleep in his bed, he's focusing. Perhaps how he can treat the people the way God wants him to be, them to be treated, or perhaps how he should deal with maybe a friend or a neighbor. He's focusing. And the same is true in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. So you'd please turn with me there. And this is a read scripture. And we should probably all know it by heart. Whether we do or not, I don't know. But something that we should always bring to mind, especially around little children and with each other. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children." And it speaks of teaching them anytime you're with them. You're teaching them God's law, God's way of life. Now, you're talking to a stranger, even a neighbor, you're not teaching the child about God's Sabbath. You are on the Sabbath many other times during the Sabbath. But here you're teaching him how God wants you to treat a neighbor, a friend, or even a stranger. There's so many aspects to this verse, and it can go on for a lifetime. What you should be teaching your children, it said that in the morning and in the night. There's no better way to be teaching a child at that time, especially at night before they go to bed, how to pray. Not a negative prayer, but a praying about, you know, leadership, praying about leaders, praying about yourself, praying about the sick, and so on and so forth. Again, it is God's will that we teach our little ones about his way of life, all aspects of life. We read about Eve being distracted. But before I go on any farther, I'd like to mention that if you want to know how to fight distractions or learn about people who were able to focus and weren't distracted hardly at all, and Satan was not able to get to him. Read about Job. It is said that he worked on that ship for 120 years. About Noah. And Job, you know, Satan went directly to God and said, "Let me distract him." He failed. Daniel was put on so many times when Satan worked it out, trying to get him distracted from praying, from doing various other things. But Daniel kept the faith. He was focused on God. He was focused on his laws, and he was focused on his will. Now, I started to say before that Eve was distracted. There was a person in the New Testament that went through the same scenario. He stayed focused. If you turn to me, and I know you all know this, but let's just go through it, because it's just part of what we need to be doing and what we need to learn about our King, our God. So if you go with chapter 4 of Matthew, starting in verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." You know, he tempted Eve. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.'" Satan was trying to distract Jesus Christ. But he failed. He failed 3 or 4 times here. Christ, Jesus Christ, our King, our Master, was completely focused on what his objectives were, on what he needed to be concentrate on. It was the foremost in his mind, day and night. He would focus, he stayed focused, and he had a vision. And to this day, he's still focused. He's focused on us. He's focused on trying to help us become his spiritual brothers and sisters and be part of that world tomorrow. The same individual taught us to focus when praying. In Matthew 6 and verse 6, he tells us, before you pray, find a place. Find a place, in this instance, a closet. Close the door and then pray, so you will not be distracted, so you can keep your focus. What the word closet here actually can mean a storage chamber or storeroom, an inner chamber, and it can mean a secret room or a secret place. You know, nobody knows where you're at, or maybe your secret place is getting up before anybody, or maybe going out to your garage or wherever so you can be completely alone, or maybe waiting for everybody else to go to school and some or whatever, and then you got all the house to yourself, and it's in secret. Nobody can see what you're doing. You're not going to become distracted. And he also taught us another lesson in doing that. If you would turn with me to Luke 22 and verse 39 through 40, Jesus Christ was in a lot of turmoil at the time of his life. He had a mission. He knew he had to fulfill that mission. But he needed strength, and he needed to focus. So we pick this up in Luke 22, verse 39. "And when he came out and went, as he wanted, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you enter not into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw." He was by himself. He was able to focus. He didn't, in this part, he didn't have to worry about them snoring or moving. He knew he had to concentrate at the task at hand. He was by himself. He was in a secret place. And he didn't have anything to distract him. And he said, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Yet, as a human, he was looking for a way out. But he wasn't willing to compromise. He wasn't willing to try to distract his own father or distract have someone to distract him. He knew what his objective were, and the objective was before the foundations of the world. He knew what he had to do. He understood that for a long, long time. But it was hard. It was hard knowing that the being that you had created, you had to die for. You had to give up your Godhead for. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35, you don't have to turn there. Just take a note of it. And this, said Paul, I speak for your own profit. And this is kind of taking it out of context because it's talking about whether you should marry or not marry. But it holds true for every faucet, for every service, everything we do, this holds true. This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. You can also put in there to mean the same thing, to serve and to focus. If we're not distracted, we're able to serve God, serve our brethren, serve our family with a lot more diligence, with a lot more zeal, and be completely focused on that. You know, while I'm putting this together, well, you don't know, but just a feeling. Someone wrote to me, and I thought it very appropriate. First, they sent me a scripture in Proverbs 9:9, and it said, give instruction to the wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, she wrote something else. I'm going to change it just a little bit so it coincide a little bit better with it, but the meaning is still the same. Just like water, we can stagnate without movement. The same can be said about our lives. We all need balance. Too much movement, and we can find ourselves 10 steps ahead of God. We're not 10 steps ahead of God, but we can have that puffed up feeling that we can do it our own. We're not focusing at that time on God, but we're focusing on being what we think is ahead of God. Well, I can do it. I don't need any help. And too little means we're 10 steps behind, not focusing, not being where we need to be in the time of our life. That's where our time with Him is necessary for proper understanding. As we grow, so does His influence and our understanding of when to move and when to simply remain still. This can only be achieved properly through daily prayer, focusing, and study. More focusing. Be achieved, even if your prayer time is only 5 minutes or as little as 30 seconds, you'll find as you grow wanting to spend more and more time with Him. The important part is to commit to spending time each and every day with God throughout our lives. And she ended it with this prayer. Dear Lord, praying always for more of your loving spirit, guidance for in each of our lives as we grow up in you. There are more definitions of the word focus, and I'll just hit on a few of these. It means to put something to the center, to contemplate, to direct attention, to fix attention, fixate, focus attention, to think hard on, to meditate, put your brain power to focus on one thing, and to intensify. Brethren, why focus? I'm just going to give you a few things why we should focus. To be able to do God's will. Why focus? To grow in grace and knowledge. Why focus? To be able to be part of Revelation 20 and verse 6. To focus. Why should we focus? So that God will pardon us and give His grace. To please God. To teach in the world tomorrow. It says in Isaiah 30, and thine ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, be able to stay on that straight and narrow path that God, Jesus Christ, told us to walk. Can we be distracted? There are so many things out there in this world. You know, there's the pagan holidays, the stuff that the church went through. Satan will use anything to distract us. If he can just get a small toehold into your life, he's counted it as a success. You know, it said that Satan goes around like a roaring lion. A roaring lion did not pick on the strong. Picks on the weak. And if he can distract you, you will become weak. The way to fight that is to draw close to God. And Satan will flee from you. He cannot fight something that is godly. He cannot overturn anybody or distract anybody as long as we stay close to God. And this sermon I thought was especially, as I'd come to church today, or this message, was very, very apropos for today. God tells us not to do our own thing. Don't be distracted. God tells us instead that our desire to be to serve him, to hear what he has to say, and to focus on what he is and what we can become.